If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 14. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the seat in front of you. We're starting a series today that I'm calling The Big Rocks. If you're familiar with Stephen Covey, he wrote The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I've referred to this story that Covey tells before, and you may have read it for yourself, but it's a great story, and it's one that I want the picture of this story to kind of influence us as we move ahead in the weeks ahead. Covey tells of a group of business students in a business school, and a teacher comes into the class and wants to teach them something about priorities. And so he comes to the class and he brings out this big beaker jar and he places it on the desk. And he says, I want you to follow along with what I'm doing and hopefully learn something about priorities. And so everybody's following along. And he proceeds with this big beaker jar on this desk to put these fist-sized rocks inside the beaker jar. And when he puts about 6 or 8 in there to the top of the jar, he asks the students, do you think the jar is full? And they all look and they say, yes. And he says, no. And so he says, there's still room. So he proceeds, he gets some pea gravel, these little bits of gravel, and he puts them in and they slide in between the rocks and fills it to the rim. And he asks the students, so, is it full now? And they're beginning to catch on, so they say, no. And he said, you're right. So then he proceeds to put sand, and he pours sand in on top of the gravel, on top of the rocks, till it fills up to the top. And he says, now is it full? And students say, no. And he said, you're right again. And then he gets water, and he pours it in there so that the whole thing is full of rocks and gravel and sand and water. And he asks the students, he says, so what does this teach us? And one of the students raises his hand and says, well, no matter how busy my schedule is, I can always cram something else inside. He said, no, that's not what this is all about. He says, you have to put the big rocks in first. And I want you to remember that picture, that image, because in the weeks to come, we're going to be talking about getting the big rocks, the big things, the major priorities in our lives down first so that everything else will fit in. Because our tendency is to allow all the little things to take priority in our lives. And we're run by the tyranny of the urgent. And in the process of doing all the little things, we can miss out on having the big rocks in our lives. So with that in mind, I want to begin with a very basic big rock in our lives this morning. And to talk about that, I want to remind you of this parable of Jesus. Now, about a year or so ago, I preached from this passage. So if it sounds familiar to you, it says you were awake and you were listening. But I want to approach it just a little bit differently. This story of Jesus is a story about priorities, and that's why it so fits what I want to do as we start out this series. It's a story about people who have the opportunity to do something special, and they miss out on that because, well, they have the wrong priorities. Let me just remind you of the story if you're not familiar with it. Jesus, at the beginning of chapter 14, is having dinner. He's meeting with some religious leaders, and in the course of the dinner, Jesus does what Jesus has a tendency to do. He manages to do what seems like the rude thing. Now, if it's anybody else, you wouldn't call what Jesus does rude, but if it was anybody else, we'd call it rude, because he's having dinner with these people, and Jesus proceeds to respond to a man's need. This man comes in and he has some illness, and this happens to be a Sabbath. So Jesus, rather than ignoring him and saying, you know, I don't work on the Sabbath, I take the Sabbath off, he heals the man. And this immediately upsets these religious people because they know you're not supposed to do anything constructive on the Sabbath. And Jesus responds to them by basically chastising them, not about the Sabbath, but about who they invite to their table. He says, verse 5, if one of you has a son or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath, will you not immediately pull him out? And they had nothing to say. So he points out, that first of all, that it's good to do good on the Sabbath, and that they would have done something, if it was their ox or something that they needed, they would have responded. But then he says, when he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. And he goes on to tell this story, which we're not going to spend time on today, but basically rebuking them for hanging out with people who will scratch their backs. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And he says at the end in verse 12, then Jesus said to the host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. So, things have gotten a little tense at the dinner party. Jesus has healed a person, and the people aren't comfortable with that. Jesus has basically rebuked his hosts for the people that they invite to their party. And so, as a way, I think, probably just to break the ice, verse 15 begins the little section we're going to look at today. It says, when one of those at the table with him heard what Jesus said, he said to Jesus, blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. That's a great, pious statement. And, you know, probably this man thought, let's just kind of cut through all the tension here and just wanted to say something that everyone could agree with. And it's hard to argue with that. But there's an assumption in this statement. It's an assumption that maybe you see, maybe you don't see. But what is this unstated assumption that this man has? I think it's an assumption that perhaps some of you have here today. And we'll see what that is as the story unfolds. But let me just remind you of this story that Jesus tells. He tells the story of three different people who are invited to a banquet, and that begins in verse 16. I'm going to clean myself up here. He says, Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please, excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please, excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to his master. And then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor and the crippled and the lame. Now, there are 2 primary interpretations of this parable. One we looked at actually a year ago, but there's another that if you've studied this, read this, heard it preached on, maybe you've heard this interpretation, it's very common. That is that this story is a story about misplaced priorities. And whether that is exactly what Jesus is saying or not, it is something that we all experience. Getting our priorities in the right order, getting the big rocks in first in our lives. And if we don't understand what really matters, we're very much in danger of possibly getting the little rocks in and not having room for the big rocks. Someone has said, and I find it's a quote that rumbles around in my mind, that between what matters and what seems to matter, how will the world know that we have judged wisely? Sometimes we give ourselves to just the things that seem to matter. How do we know if we give ourselves to the things that really matter? Well, in one of the interpretations of this parable, the problem of these three people is that they have misplaced priorities. The first one, this man who gives his excuse for not going to the banquet. And by the way, all of us get invited places and we decide we don't want to go. In fact, probably many of us have been invited to banquets and we have turned down those opportunities. Sue and I, just this past week, were invited to a banquet at a castle and we turned it down. The castle up the hill, it's a wedding that I'm doing for people I don't know, and they invited us to the dinner afterwards, and we thought, we don't want to waste their money and spend time with people we don't know. I'll do the service and that'll be it. But you know, whether that's a wise choice or not, it seems like a frugal and a good choice to us now. But I suppose if turns out there are all kinds of celebrity people there and we miss out, I may feel differently about that. And it's hard to know sometimes what the right priorities are. Well, in the case of these people, the first man that Jesus mentions, he says, I just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Here's a man whose priority is his investments. He is not invested in the stock market. They didn't have a stock market back then, but he invested in land. And he says, you know, the most important thing for me is to make sure that this is a sound investment, a good investment. And so, please excuse me, but quite frankly, he didn't say it this way, but quite frankly, this investment opportunity is more important than your stupid banquet. The second person is a person who has just bought some oxen. He said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Here's a person whose work is a higher priority than this silly banquet. I mean, oxen, that was the tractors of the agricultural day back then. And for this man to do his work, for this farmer, he needed good oxen. And he needed to make sure that this was a good team. And so this was a decision that would impact his work. And his work took priority over this banquet. So he obviously should be excused. Now, the last one we have the most sympathy for of all. This is, servant came back and pointed out to his master that this man had just gotten married. And notice in verse 20, I just got married, so I can't come. Doesn't even ask to be excused. You can't expect me to come. I just got married. And here's a man whose marriage, his family, takes priority. And all of us have found ourselves making choices based on these different priorities. There are some here who, by virtue of your finances and your investments, have chosen to focus on those things rather than focus on things that are more spiritual in nature. There are those who choose to spend extra time at work. I mean, after all, you got to get ahead and you got to get the pay raises and you got to climb the ladder. And sometimes people will do that at the expense of things that are spiritual and far less urgent. And then, of course, in our culture today, there's no greater excuse than our families. My family takes precedent over everything. And that's not bad, but the question is it possible that there's something that's even more important than your family? Between what matters and what seems to matter, how do you know whether you've chosen wisely? When the beaker is full of gravel and you've got a bunch of big rocks and you can't get them in, that's not the time to decide that your priorities were wrong. Anyway, that's one interpretation of this parable, that it explains misplaced priorities. And whether that was Jesus' intent or not, I'm absolutely certain as a pastor, I'm certain as a preacher, that all of us justify our actions on the basis of things that are important to us. And the question isn't whether your family is important or your investments are important or your job is important. The question is, what is most important? In the case of this story, it's this banquet. Is the banquet really worth giving up these things? Well, that's a question. It's a question that each of us needs to ask. What is this banquet, this thing that God is asking us to be a part of? But there's another interpretation, and this is the one I mentioned when we studied this passage a year ago. And that is that if we understand something about Middle Eastern meals, Middle Eastern banquets, then we'll see that what seems to be going on is a little different than it seems. Look at verse 16. He says, Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests." So, if we're going to understand what is going on here, there's something we have to understand about this banquet. And verse 16 gives us a hint that when the servants go to these different people who are invited to this banquet, they're not going to them for the first time. In other words, the servant goes to the man who bought a field, and he says, "I can't come." And he goes to the man who bought oxen, and he says, I can't go." And he goes to the man who just got married, and he said, "I can't go." On the surface, as we read that, we think, well, that's the first they've heard about this banquet. And it makes sense. If they're just now being invited, they've got other things on the schedule. And sometimes just your commitments require that you to be a person of your word. You say no to something important just because you've already given your word. But in the context of this parable and in the context of the culture of the Middle East, both today and back in Jesus' day, we need to understand that the invitations had already gone out. Verse 16 says, "This man prepared a banquet and invited many guests." And even this day, Ken Bailey, who wrote a commentary on the parables of Luke, points out that there are usually two invitations to a Middle Eastern banquet. There was one that goes out beforehand, kind of like we send out wedding invitations and you expect people to reply. But then there was another one that went out to tell people, "Everything's ready, it's time, come." So this story is not about people getting the invitation for the first time. It's they're being invited to the banquet that they've already agreed to come to. If that's the case, and I think it is, then this isn't so much about priorities, although it does reflect priorities, it's about lame excuses. I mean, think about these in terms of people who have already said, "I'm coming, count on me, I'll be there at that banquet." The first two are quite lame. He says, "I bought a field and I must go see it." The second says, "I just bought 5 oxen, and I got to go try them out." Now, what's so lame about that excuse? we have to understand that the excuses are lame, because if you bought a field, if you bought oxen, you wouldn't buy oxen, you would buy a car. And if you bought a car, would you just respond to a newspaper ad that says, I have a car for sale, it's this price, and you just say, okay, here's my credit card, I'm going to buy that. Well, let's just say this is your... Let's say this is your car. There. That could happen. Buyer beware. I just bought a car. I got to go check it out. That's not how you buy a car. That's not how you buy land or a house. You don't just hear about it and buy it. You go and you check it out. So this is not good business. These people wouldn't have done this. These are just stupid excuses. They're, I think I mentioned last time I preached on this, they're the, my hair needs to be washed and I can't go on a date tonight. You know, they're just stupid, lame excuses because they don't want to go out. And I think that's the purpose. Jesus is talking about people who really don't want to go to this banquet. So they give these crummy excuses. And you say, well, what about the wedding excuse? Well, think about weddings. Even in our day and time, if we assume that the invitation has gone out weeks or months ahead of time, there's no doubt that a couple getting married has had time to kind of think about, okay, oh yeah, we're getting married in August, and there's the banquet that's coming up in August. You wouldn't be surprised by it. You'd work things around it, especially if it's an important banquet. I know when Carl and Joanna were married last year, they got engaged in February, and we were uptight because their wedding was in August, and planning an August wedding in February seemed like pretty short distance. Weddings, even Middle Eastern ancient weddings, they didn't just happen overnight. It took planning. And so this banquet and this wedding, they would have had time to work this out. It too, though it sounds on the surface like, oh, who's going to argue with a bride and groom? They would have had time to sort this out. What Jesus is pointing out in this parable is that this banquet wasn't very important to these people. It was so unimportant that they were willing to give really lame excuses about being involved. And so as a result, you can understand why the host responded like he did. This host was not very happy with these people. Verse 21, the servant came back and reported to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys in town and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. This guy was ballistic. I mean, rightly so. This is no small thing. This was a big deal. And these people had said they would come, and now they're backing out. But it didn't matter to them. It wasn't very significant. And what you see in the rest of the parable is that these people who had not been invited then get invited. And so this becomes an example of the host's mercy and grace to the poor and the outcasts. And he goes on to invite some others as well, which are probably first group are Jews and the second are probably Gentiles. And he fills up his banquet hall with these people so that the people who were originally invited are not allowed in the banquet. In fact, he says, then the master told his servant, verse 23, go out in the roads and the country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. Can you imagine a bouncer at the door of that banquet hall? No. You said you're getting married. Go have a good time with your spouse. You had to look at oxen, go enjoy it, but you're not coming in here. The opportunity was presented, and then it was too late. Now, I wanted to tell and retell that story for a couple reasons. The first reason is just the first interpretation that parable applies to all of us. Between what matters and what seems to matter, how will the world know that we have judged wisely? As people who know what the Bible has to say, people who understand spiritual realities, when we choose something that is immediate for something that's eternal, we've chosen poorly. And in every decision that we need to make, you don't need me to tell you as your pastor what is right. I may not have all the facts in your life, but it's wise for each of us, each of you, when the opportunities come up, to say, you know, is this something that is of long-term consequence in my life? Is this something that will benefit me for months or years or eternity? Or is this just a passing thing? And in the decisions that we need to make, we need to determine our priorities and to decide between those things that are passing and those things that are permanent. And that has to do with every choice that you make about serving God. It has to do with how you raise your children, coming to church, getting involved in Bible studies, getting involved in service. They're not easy decisions, and I'm not here to either heap guilt on you if you've made them poorly or to tell you that my understanding is best. But before God, if we're going to live with the big rocks in first, we need to step back and look at our priorities. Otherwise, we'll put the wrong thing first. Like the man or the woman who gives himself or herself to the job and has kids who grow up and thinks of their parent as a stranger. When it's all said and done, is that really a good investment? Or someone who goes after the financial bottom line and has no friends. It's very possible, and a great many people in our world climb the ladder of success only to discover that it's leaning against the wrong building. So we need to determine our priorities and make our choices accordingly. But there's a message that is the biggest rock of all, and that is the assumption that I mentioned at the outset of this parable. There's this man who at this luncheon, says, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast of the kingdom of God." The assumption is, I'm going to be there. That's kind of why you say that sort of thing. And I think, again, honestly not thinking of any one of you in particular, but just thinking about how churches work. It's very possible that you're here this morning and you're thinking, I'm in. I'm set up for eternity. I go to church. I'm a pretty spiritual person. And you think, it's all good. But unfortunately, sometimes the choices that we make exclude us from that banquet. And it's possible that if you're not careful, having gone to First Baptist Church for years, maybe calling yourself a Christian from the earliest time you can remember, is it possible that when that banquet is given and people are invited in, that you're not allowed in. It's hard to imagine that that's possible, but it happens in this story. People who make the wrong choices get to a place and they see what really matters, and it's too late then. My challenge when we're talking about getting the big rocks in first is to make sure of your relationship with Jesus Christ. As your pastor, don't just assume because you've been coming to our church for weeks or months or years that that changes your eternal destiny. Jesus is clear. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. And everything that we've just celebrated in Easter and Good Friday is a reminder that the way to God is through Jesus Christ. He came as the sacrifice lamb who gave himself for us. That's what we celebrated in Good Friday and Thursday in the Passover meal and Good Friday. He was the Lamb of God. His death and his blood paid for your sins and for mine. So, whether you've heard that before or not, today is the day to take the invitation and embrace it. To acknowledge that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, that Jesus died for you, and that He has made it possible for you to be part of that great banquet, that future event in eternity. See, it's possible to come up with pretty lame excuses. And I think it's a lame excuse to say, well, I've been going to church all my life. That doesn't get you in the door. It's what do you do with Jesus Christ? You say, you know, I've been a pretty good person. Well, that's great, but have you ever done anything wrong? How do you cover that? That's why Jesus had to die for you. So, my friend, my challenge to you is this morning, today, make this the day that you get that big rock in place. Don't keep waiting for I'm not sure when to make that decision. Make it today. You're invited to an awesome banquet, a relationship with God as Father that has eternal consequences. And all you have to do is embrace it in faith, realizing that the cost was paid by Jesus, who died for you and rose again. And right where you are, if you've never done that, just say, God, I realize I'm a sinner, that Jesus died for me and saved me. That's this parable. There's a value for each of us to look at the priorities in our lives and to see, are we making the right choices based on what really matters? And have we gotten the most important rock down in our lives, committing ourselves to Jesus, our Savior, our Messiah, our Lord? That's the first rock and the most important one of all. Let's pray together. As you have bowed before God, I am not going to ask you to raise your hand or to say or do anything that would embarrass you. But I do want to give you the opportunity this day to make sure that you've made the most important decision in your life. If you're not sure that there's ever been a time where you admitted to God that you're a sinner, that you screwed up, that you've done things that you're not proud of, this is the time to do that. It's right where you are, silently before God. Confess your sin to Him. And it's not just about feeling bad for your sin, but realizing that you've been given a gift, the gift of salvation. Jesus died in your place, giving you access to God. Will you embrace that? Accept that as His gift to you, His banquet ticket. Jesus, as we just celebrated, is not dead in some Palestinian tomb somewhere. He is alive. And His resurrection is evidence that His death is different than anything else, anyone else's death. It is sufficient for your sins. Just tell God you accept His gift. You accept His invitation to the banquet. Lord God, it's a simple message, but I'm convinced that it's the rock that has to go down first. And I pray this day might be the day in which some people in this room have a new beginning with You. For their sakes, I pray, and for the sake of Jesus who died for them, I ask as well.